Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Cavs are almost done with the preseason. That's exciting. Plenty of things to talk about surrounding just about everything. And a lot of time to do it with you guys here from 7 to 11. It's Jake Volnick on Overtime. We have doing his normal Tuesday duties, running the board. You heard him on the 2020s, doing work behind the glass. Michael Markoch with us today. Now, listen, we can start things on the sour note of truthfully reacting. As this is obviously the first time that we get to talk to each other and reacting to this game that we just watched, where the Browns don't score a touchdown, where things go sad, and the offense once again looks inept as Dylan Gabriel drops back to pass 58 times. We could go into this whole mess, or we could start somewhere, maybe a little bit more on a positive note, okay? We're going to try to bring you a relatively positive spin, because there's going to be plenty of time for the negatives. We're going to try to get to the positives. And this is, by the way, a night where we are slightly battling. We are on, like, the back end of a sickness. I don't know what's happening. I felt better voice-wise yesterday doing updates for Afternoon Drive than I do tonight. But I feel, I mean, twice as well as I did yesterday. I don't know what it is. Like, you know, slight throat pain yesterday. Felt congested. Still feel the congestion. But that's about it. So we're on a little bit of a battle day, but we'll be perfectly fine. We're going to get through the show in just enough there. But just know if I tune out for a couple of seconds, I'm probably coughing off to the side or something crazy. But I'm telling you, we're going to bring a slightly positive spin to things, which it's just a weird feeling, and I know why it's there. But the Browns are right where most of us, I think, expected the Browns to be this season. In a year where everyone sat there and said, well, this can be a much better year than previous, than many people are expecting it to be, with the Browns supposing to be one of the worst teams in the NFL, but this isn't going to be bad. And still those people did not look at the first six games and go, the Browns are going to be 4-2. Or the Browns are going to go out there. And even a lot of those people probably didn't sit there and go, Browns are going to be 3-3 coming out of those first six games. I think a lot of 2-4s more than 1-5s on the positive view, but you're at 1-5. Again, it was near expectation, if not at expectation, for the first six games that you played. And like I said, I understand the negative side of where it's so much worse than what you expected out of 1-5 to what you've gotten. You've already had to turn the page. You've already had to unveil what was really your gotcha moment. You're like, we can still make this work type of moment, where you go to the rookie quarterback and that's where a lot of the hope lies. You already have that first card already played onto the table. I get it. And the offense has looked absolutely terrible, right? You're averaging less than 14 points a game right now, which is, I mean, abysmally low. It's the NFL. They're begging you to score 20 or more. But like, you're below 14 right now. Yeah, it's bad. So I get where the negativity comes from. I also spin it sort of the other way of like, hey, if the Browns are at the expected view right now, even though it's looked worse than expected, if you sit here and go, well, the Browns are 1-5 and we sort of expected them to be 1-5, and everybody calls this season what it really feels like it is, which It's spiraling. It's going off the rails. The Browns have clearly diverted from what they wanted the quarterback plan probably to be by, you know, walking away from Joe earlier than expected, both as a starter and as a member of the roster. Sure, it didn't work out to plan. Welcome to the NFL. Welcome to a regular sports season. If something goes to plan, you probably won a Super Bowl. Okay, like if you have the plan set and it goes directly where you wanted it to, yeah, you probably are the team that won a Super Bowl. And I'm sure 99% of those teams also did not have their season go exactly to plan. You just look at this, and I think there might be a world where we're passing judgment too quickly on the entirety of the Browns season. And it's not to say this is going to be a playoff team. It's not to say that miraculously, yes, as the Browns schedule significantly lightens up starting this week as you take on Miami, that all of a sudden the Browns are going to win 9 of their next 11 games or 10 of their next 11 games and be a playoff team and really take the AFC North by storm. I'm not saying that, but if you're looking at this team for what they were when they came into the year, which my prediction was sitting at 6 to 7 wins, right? I said an optimistic 7. If the expectation is the Browns can still get there, I don't think we're looking at a wild expectation right now. I think if you ask Vegas, this is about how they expected things to play out. Again, the offense might be worse than expected, but when it comes to the actual record and where the Browns can still get, I don't think you're that far off. To say that the season has completely imploded and this thing is entirely off the rails, guys, yes, it's 6 weeks and it's been a bad 6 weeks. You've also played some really good defenses in that time that has made the offense, a bad offense, an abysmal offense, look even worse than it actually is. Don't get me wrong. If we go into Dolphins week and we get week 7, you bring Miami to Cleveland and they look awful once again and they don't come out of that game with a win, we're in much different territory, okay? If you can't take down the Miami Dolphins, we got some real scare here that the defense is not legit and the offense really is historically bad. Like as bad as we've seen in more than, I mean, probably my lifetime. Like it would have to be on that type of level, poor of an offense. I think there might be a world, again, where we're jumping the gun a little early here. Judgment might be being passed based on 6 games in a rough stretch where you expected them to be a bad football team. Like, I'm not saying this team's going to be a 9-win team. Nobody, very few people are looking at this team going, they can make the playoffs. Again, if you were expecting greatness out of this Browns team, your expectations out of the gate were far too high. Like, you did not have a realistic outlook on this season. I just think there's room here to have it turned around. There really is. I mean, you go through and look at the Browns' schedule. There are a lot of games where the Browns should be, I mean, favored, if not in a very tight line, according to Vegas, in these upcoming weeks for the schedule. Again, Miami this week should be a game that looks close. The Patriots are, I mean, that's a balancing act. I don't know how to feel about the Patriots. I think in my mind they're really good. I know Drake May's really good. I don't know about the entirety of the team. Jets should be an easy game. 2 weeks later, you have the Raiders. Yes, the Ravens are there. I don't know what to expect of the Ravens either. The 49ers are a bit of a wild card team. The Titans are downright bad. Like, you have room to make up wins in the schedule. The same way the Steelers, if you look farther down their schedule, have some real room to make up some losses because they've played the bad teams out of the gate. You have legitimate chance to pass through and pick up a boatload of wins. And at least make this thing look like, this isn't the worst football team I've watched since 1999. It's not to say the offense is going to be good, but if you're calling it quits on a season after 6 weeks, your expectations were either far too high for this team, or I think you might just be jumping this thing and expecting way too much, way too early. Like, if at this point in the season you're calling for Shedeur Sanders, you've lost the plot. You're completely off the rails in just how bad this thing is. Not to say Dylan looked good. He looked bad on Sunday. I think there were a lot of things working against him. I don't think there was a ton that really helped him out. But I'm not saying he played well inside of that. But switching the quarterback is not the answer here. Like, yeah, you have to stay true at some point. The Browns do still have a ton of ground that they can make up with the schedule in front of them. I think we're going a holistic view of trying to will ourselves, trying to give ourselves hope that this team can come out and excite and can be better than expected, and really buying into the things that the Browns wanted to sell us at the beginning of the year. Oh, we're better than people think we are, and we think this team has a real chance to compete. Yeah, welcome to the NFL. Those are the type of things that teams say. Dumb or not, it's the type of things that teams want to go out there and say. I don't think you should have been sitting there believing them. It's a mediocre football team at best. Honestly, you're kind of looking at a mediocre football team because you look at one of the best defenses in the NFL with one of the worst, the worst offenses in the NFL. That puts you right about mediocrity. Puts you right about a dead center. Not a ton of wins going to get picked up that way, but you have one of the best units on one side and one of the worst units, if not the worst unit and the best unit on either side of the ball. It's like there just is too much space here. There's too much opportunity. If you want to judge this thing in another 2 weeks and it looks as bad as it does right now, I'm all in. Like, we are not far from being able to judge this team on what they truly are, but I think if you're doing it after the first 6 weeks, you've just gone too far into it. You've bought too much into, the first six games really weren't as hard as people said they were. Like, as bad as the offense has been, guys, you can legitimately, shape the schedule and break it down to a couple of plays where the Browns could be 3-3 coming down to those first six. It's part of what makes it sting so bad, I think. Like, if they're just getting blown out every week, it's like, wow, those six teams are just far better than we were. But the fact that they could have beat the Bengals, the fact that you could have gone out and you could have went to London and you could have beat the Vikings, it makes it sting just a little bit more. It makes it hurt. It makes you think, wow, if the offense could just get to a level where I considered it acceptable, this team would be 3-3. But the thing is, like, you're going to need an acceptable offense to play the next, I don't know, eight games on the schedule and to come out of that with a winning record, to come out of that feeling like this team is better than what they've shown so far. There is a path to the light that you just have to be willing to accept with the Browns season. And it's that the schedule does get a lot easier, that these games should be far more competitive. Like Miami, you want to talk about bad defenses. Holy. If the Browns can't go out there and score 20 against the Miami Dolphins, you're right, they're cooked. All right, they're done. Like, that is as bad as this team will ever be and probably can't ever get in the NFL if you can't go out there and score 20 or something pretty darn close to it and look like you're in complete control of the Miami Dolphins next week. You have the complete setup to be competitive in that game and go out and win that game. But I think before we get to this set, we talked about this six-game stretch to start the season for so long leading up to it. Just being able to identify how difficult it was actually going to be. And then you get into the first six games, and just because, well, the product didn't match the expectation, even though the result did, you sort of lose your mind on it. Like, I think that is the wrong way about thinking of it. If we go through and look at an NFL season, there are plenty of times throughout the year where if you look at the Browns or any other NFL team, you go through bad stretches where, it shouldn't have worked out. Even if I was supposed to lose that team, wasn't supposed to be that bad. And obviously, the contrary of, well, didn't expect that team to win, but they pulled it out and they somehow won. That's Browns-Packers in a nutshell. Like, there are just ways for this team to look better against worse defenses. There is a world where you just do look more like a competent offense when you get away from playing the best defenses in the NFL, especially when we're talking about playing with a banged-up offensive line, a rookie quarterback, and a lack of playmakers. So yes, if your takeaway is the Browns are not going to be a playoff team in 2025, well, welcome to reality, I guess. It's where we've all been living for, over a year at this point. I would say when they went 3-14 last year, I pretty much could have summed up that this team was not going to be a playoff team. But if you just get to the point of, hey, this can be a team that can still win six games and have a lot of positives to draw from where they started the season to where they're going to end it, especially when you look at the rookies, I think you're getting a lot closer to probably how we should be feeling on this season. 216-474-0092. Have we passed judgment too early on the Browns season? You can also get to me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. So we can get to our social media reactions powered by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. Of course, at 7:40, we're going to get to the station buzz. We're here the most pressing things from our station's guests today. We have our very own Daryl Ryder joining us at 8 o'clock as he does every single Tuesday. Get a grips at 9. It's a blind tier Tuesday. We're going to get to that in the 10 o'clock hour. But right now, 216-474-0092. Have we passed judgment too early on the Browns season? We're going to get to your calls and more on the disappointment we sit in and who's to blame. All of it coming in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With the guys here until 11 on The Fan. When it comes to making that big of a judgment based on what we've seen. Yes, the offense is bad. Yes, the offense needs to perform at a much higher level. You need better quarterback play. You need better offensive line play. You need better play out of your playmakers. There's a lot of different ways that we can go about this. But it, quite frankly, it's just, it's wild to me that just because the offense is as bad as it is, as you've been competitive in three of the six games that you've played against really good teams, the immediate reaction is that this thing is all for naught. Yeah, it's bad. It doesn't feel good watching it any of the weeks. I mean, I tweeted out something yesterday after watching Thursday Night Football. I was watching the Bills and Falcons, and they scored 21 points in the first three quarters. And I was like, this honestly, it hurts my soul. It's depressing to watch because as many touchdowns as the Browns have scored in the last 12 quarters that they've played. It hurts. It hurts to watch the Browns offense then play and then go watch somebody else, any of the other combination of teams in the NFL, it feels like, and be like, oh, well, that's what a real offense looks like against, I mean, two okay defenses, shaky defenses really at best. We're talking about the Falcons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Falcons and the Bills. But like, those teams go and put up points. But you're missing all of the things that those offenses have, which if you look at the Bills is a really solid running back, which is the one thing that I think you do have right now in Cleveland and Quinshon Judkins, despite the 3 yards per carry he put up on Sunday. But then you look to the other side and it's like, okay, well, they have a young quarterback that shows promise in Michael Penix. They have an elite running back in Bijan Robinson. They have a incredible weapon in Drake London as a pass catcher. And it's like, yeah, you have none of that. They have acceptable offensive line play. You get none of those things in Cleveland. So you can only go off what you have. But there is going to be a path here where you are playing far worse defenses in the schedule that we laid out. It's like the Dolphins are a horrible defense. The Jets are far below expectation when it comes defensively. I mean, offensively too. But mostly defensively, negative 10 passing yards. This just in, worse than what the Browns have put up. And also really, really bad. So it's like you have pathways to victories. There's going to be a time in this season where you should be picking up wins. As long as the Browns go out and do that, it's like, yeah, they kind of put together the season I think a lot of us expected, maybe just not in the way we expected. But I want to get to you guys. Again, 216-474-0092. Have we passed judgment too early on the Browns season? Let's go out to the phones. Jeff is in Eastlake. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, Jake, how you doing?
We're doing a battle
no,
right.
No, we haven't. First of all, what I want to say is we definitely did Baker the best favor we could ever do for him. The whole team lacks discipline. When you have receivers dropping balls that should have been caught, getting hit in the head, that falls on the head coach and nobody else. Nobody. So I'll hang up and get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and Jeff, I appreciate the call. And listen, I'm not saying Stefanski's doing a stand-up job right now because I truthfully don't think that he is. I mean, I think there's a lot of things you could be doing better, including, I don't know, maybe coaching your quarterbacks not to just throw the ball 3 yards every single time and imploring them to go down the field every once in a while. I think there might be a little some of that. Maybe getting better offensive line play with the staff that you're also hiring. You went and got Mike Bloomgren and was like, we're going back to the Callahan style. Well, Mike Bloomgren's not getting the most out of offensive linemen that you need him to. Like, Callahan made Jed Wills almost an acceptable offensive tackle. That, as weird as it is, it'd kind of be nice to have Jed Wills right about now, wouldn't it? Like, not that I really want to see him. Not so sure that it would be any worse than Cam Robinson or, I mean, take your pick, KT Leviston. Cornelius Lucas isn't inactive for these games. Tevin Jenkins, if he had to step into a game, I'm sure wouldn't look that great. Like, I mean, there's a lot of different routes. I'm not just absolving Kevin Stefanski of blame. But again, everybody wants to go down the route of fire Stefanski, which we're going to talk about today in pretty good length. But like, okay, you can't fire Kevin in the middle of a season. Guys, that doesn't accomplish anything. Like, who is the guy that steps in and makes the team that's in front of him significantly better? Like, does it look any better? Sure, it might. I mean, I brought up, you know, last week we were talking. I said it might just be time for a mutual split that's actually good for the both of them. And that might be true. But not looking to fire a coach in the middle of a season. Doesn't really accomplish anything. You think Tennessee got any better this week because they fired Callahan? No, not really. Like, yeah, I'm imagining it's still going to be as dysfunctional as imaginable, and that team's just going to be, you know, as Cam Ward would go out and say, ass. Like, yeah, that team is just ass. That's all they say. That's all Cam has. Is every single week his takeaway from that team is, yeah, we're bad. We're a bad football team. Yes, Cam, we can see that. Thank you. But, like, it's not going to fix the fact that they have a bad football team. Right now, your problems, yes, Kevin Stefanski needs to be doing better. Guys, you also just don't have a ton of talent. Like, let's just be real about it. There's coaching mistakes. You didn't lose this game because Kevin Stefanski was just a bad coach. Like, yeah, you could have ran it a little bit more. They still went out there and scored 9 points. Dylan Gabriel still completed under 50% of his passes and was throwing hospital ball after hospital ball to his wide receivers. The offensive line, Kevin can tell them to do something. He can, you know, put Mike Bloomgren in a spot to tell him to go, hey, we got to block better. At the end of the day, it's on the offensive lineman to go out there and actually protect the quarterback and open up holes for the run game. You just don't have a ton of talent on the Cleveland Browns offense right now. I don't know that firing him really fixes that. But it also goes back to the exact point of where I was trying to stand with Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. Yes, this season right now does not look to be going the way that you expected. And I think there's a lot of blame that you can place in both Barry and Stefanski for this season. There's a lot of different ways that you can paint it. But ultimately, this is a combined effort of failure. Like, this season is a product of both Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. There's a percentage of that blame that has to get dished out. But if you're putting it solely on one guy and not the other, I don't think you're taking a holistic view at the Browns roster. Like, Andrew Berry did send you into a season with the offense you have currently slated, which is an offensive line that is consistently banged up, and the guys that you have here for depth have not played up to par. You have no quarterback set up there to actually do anything successful. You have a wide receiver core that is just desolate and has basically no names in it, period. Andrew Berry, as much as I don't think you're firing Berry after this year because the draft class looked good and is continuing to look good. Like, we've run through the name 100 times of the guys that he drafted this year. Yeah, the class looks good. So I don't think you're firing Andrew Berry, but he did put together the staff that you have. He put together everybody that's on the roster right now, and Kevin's dealing with that in whatever way he sees fit. Wouldn't say it's a great way, especially offensively, but he's trying to deal with it. Like, this is a twofold problem. Kevin's created some of the problems here on the offense, certainly. Andrew Berry also hasn't given you a ton of talent. Now, I think you want to break that blame down. You want to throw percentages at it. Yeah, I would say if you made me pick a guy of who's more to blame for this season, yeah, I'd lean Kevin. At the end of the day, you got to go out there and execute. There's bad offenses all around the NFL. Most of them are averaging a hell of a lot more than 14 points at the end of the day, too. And coming off of a year where he averaged 15, it's just looking like, you know, as an offensive mind that relies very heavily in the scheme and not so much on the players to put them in a position to succeed, you'd be looking for a little bit more. Let's go back out of the phones. Larry's in Cleveland. What's going on, Larry?
Yeah, man. And listen, Stefanski do need to be fired, man. He the one that calls the plays. And he's coaching all these quarterbacks to do the same. This is why Joe looks so bad. People think, oh, Joe was 40. Listen, man, everybody know 2 years ago the picks was a problem. Yes, it was fun because we was throwing it all over the place. But for Stefanski, then picks was a problem. Y'all don't think he went to him after Kenny Pickett got a hamstring? That's why he was going to get the job, because he was going to do what Stefanski wanted him to do, which was dink and dunk. Ain't no different. That's why Shador can't play right now, because he's not going to do what Stefanski wanted him to do. He's going to go out there and take chances that Stefanski don't want. He has to go, man. He got to go. And they're not going to win until that guy leaves or he stops calling the plays. Period. Point. And the guy behind him, the guy from came from Alabama, he can't be no worse. I don't know why they just don't plug Schwartz in as a quarter, as the head coach. Just somebody that got some type of authority. He still controls the defense and get an offensive coordinator, man. Let Stefanski go, man. It's time. It's time, bro. He been doing this. And he good at sabotaging, too, because he did it with Baker. All right, I'm gone.
I appreciate the call. I mean, I think there's a lot there with Baker that goes into that. I don't really want to go down that rabbit hole tonight if we're being 100% honest. But, like, again, the entire Jim Schwartz thing, it just befuddles me. It really does. Like, everybody be like, oh, throw Jim Schwartz in as the interim head coach. One, if you don't make Jim Schwartz the full-time head coach after that, Jim Schwartz is no longer going to be a member of the Cleveland Browns. He's not going to be on staff. Because if you put him in a position power and then go, actually, we're going to take away that power. You want to go back to just coaching the defense? That's not going to fly. And we all just, everybody throws away the fact that Jim Schwartz didn't want to be a head coach. Didn't even want to be a defensive coordinator. When he was done with the Eagles in 2020, everybody throws out and they forget about the fact that he went, I want to be a senior consultant. He went to be a senior consultant with the Tennessee Titans. He did it for 2 years. And then the Browns defensive coordinator job came open and he basically pulled him out of pseudo-retirement. And he was like, all right, fine. I'll be a defensive coordinator again. Congratulations. You've done a great job, Jim. I enjoy. Like, if there's one thing that I can't get rid of if we're moving off of Stefanski, if that's what happens, is like, I can't lose Jim Schwartz. The entire defense is based around everything that he does, being great in man coverage, being great after getting after the quarterback. Everything that it is good about that defense, personnel-wise, works because of a short scheme. Okay. But you can't just throw him in at head coach and expect things to be great. Like, we've seen Jim Schwartz as the head coach, by the way. Didn't exactly go great. Now he took over a team that was 0-16. Got into the playoffs, you know, 3 years later. Also, then 2 years after that, they were a 4-win football team and Jim Schwartz was fired. Like, he did not do a good job. By the way, putting an offensive mind in charge of Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson. Not great. Like, those are the type of times where you go, I don't know how that offense wasn't working. Don't know how that team wasn't winning games with Schwartz in charge of the defense. It didn't work there either. Again, as much as Stefanski is to blame, the middle of the year head coach firing serves you no purpose. Unless you truthfully think Jim Schwartz is going to be an elite head coach, which he has shown no ability to do in his career, and he wants to take on that position, it doesn't work. Nothing comes of that. Like, I can place a ton of blame this season on Kevin Stefanski. I really can. Like, I think if you're breaking it down into percentages between him and Barry, it's probably like a 70-30. Because I think there is something real. And we'll ask Daryl about it at 8 o'clock. We'll get into it, you know, after we talk to Daryl. There's something real about the way that Kevin Stefanski has basically altered the mind of his quarterbacks in the way that he wants them to think about the game. That I don't think is productive for an offense. A lot of things that aren't right there. Even if Stefanski should go, that mentality is probably not changing all that much, no matter, like, Tommy Rees is right there in line with him, being like, yep, this is the way we're coaching the team, and perfectly okay with it. Like, if you didn't want to do it, I'd imagine you wouldn't have taken the position and been on staff, because that's been the Stefanski motto for a long time, is don't turn the ball over. Despite quarterbacks having done it in the past, it's always driven Kevin crazy. There is not that simple change. But sure, You can place blame onto Barry. You can place blame onto Stefanski. The fact that you're 1-5 this season is so many layers. So many layers as to everything that's gone wrong. And also sort of what the expectation was. 216-474-0092. Who's more to blame for this season? Is it Kevin Stefanski? Is it Andrew Barry? We'll get to some of your guys' calls coming up here in 5 minutes as well. The Station Buzz right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. But Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. And as we reach 740, we get to the point in the show where we react to the most pressing things said by our station's guest today. Let's get to the Station Buzz.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, let's kick things off, and we're going to go a little bit off record. We have the rundown ready. I'm going to go off script here. We're going to start with Lance Risland of Cleveland.com. Everybody wants to talk about, well, you know, Kevin's doing a terrible job, and it's all on the offensive line. It's all on discipline. Lance Risland joined Afternoon Drive today and talked about Dylan Gabriel, a guy who's high on Dylan Gabriel, not being impactful early on.
He's a little bit gun-shy, and he's under fire right now in the pocket. And I think what's happening is that he's missing things when they're available. And when you think about, like, the Browns do a lot of high lows and a lot of levels concept, that's one of Kevin's staples. And he's always taken the underneath level. And sometimes that second level is there. And even if he completes that first level, the second level is there. And then he's missing some. And he's missing some because that pocket is kind of collapsing around him. And his pocket awareness is not what it was coming from Oregon. And I think it has a lot to do with his processing and trying to get through like what he's seeing, but he's not quick enough with that right now. And obviously, and then he's making some great throws. You make a great throw to Fannin, you get a drop, and then you get a sack, and then he misses. And again, everybody's got their hand in this garbage can right now of offense, and he's included. But I think he's been solid, but he hasn't been impactful, right? He's doing okay, but he's not impactful enough for this offense to kind of get going.
So we can sit here and we can blame Kevin because the offense is too conservative. And again, I think there's part of this here. I think that the way that Kevin's coaching these quarterbacks in order to probably be more conservative than they should be, emphasizing not to turn the ball over, probably has its hand in the pot here a little bit. I think also, like, you get bad offensive line play, you get a guy trying to get through his reads quickly, I don't think that Kevin's calling levels concepts and going, all right, Dylan, hit the first one. Like, just go to the first level, the shortest level, every single time that we run this play. Like, I think Dylan's a bit sped up here, too. Like, he's a fine quarterback. He's avoided the turnover, even though a lot of turnover-worthy footballs against the Steelers on Sunday that just didn't get picked. He's starting to put the ball in harm's way a little bit and probably trying to start to force things, because when I drop back 58 times, I'd probably start to try to force things. Listen, it's a touchdown or a pick, baby. We're getting one of them. And then somehow it still falls incomplete, and you're like, I tried so hard, though. I tried so hard just to get off the field. I'm done with the punishment. Stop letting me get hit. I did everything in my power. Like, this is the part where, okay, offensive line play needs to be better, because I'm sure that's speeding Dylan Gabriel up. Dylan just needs to be better. There's multiple plays you can go to. I think a lot of the main one that stuck out for a lot of people was obviously the Jerry Jeudy open in the end zone throw. I know Lance broke one down on social media as well, where he just missed the levels concept of a guy running open and checked down too early when all he had to do was stay calm in a relatively clean pocket. It's like, there's so much that goes into it, and what makes it so hard to evaluate the quarterback right now, it's like, yeah, Dylan's not playing his best. He's not making very impactful plays, but everything's contributing to it, and you can put some of that on Kevin. I don't think you can put all of that on Kevin Stefanski. Like, at some point, guys have to be able to catch the ball, and part of what's impacted that is Dylan laying up hospital balls and guys looking at the safety when they should be looking for the football. It's like, there is so much that goes into this offense being bad that they need to find a way to correct. Makes it really hard to kind of dig down that rabbit hole, though. All right, we'll get back to script. Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com on today with Baskin and Phelps. And there's definitely a conversation that we've had around a divided organization. Is Kevin really on the same page? Mary Kay thinks they're pretty much still all in line.
Nobody's happy right now. They're all searching for answers. They're all trying to figure things out. But I don't think it's a team divided. I don't think it's a front office and coaching staff divided. That's not how they roll. Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are in lockstep. They work very, very well together. They make decisions together. Andrew consults with Kevin on every single thing that he does. So I don't think it's like that. But, you know, these things take on a life of their own sometimes when a football team goes wrong and looks bad. And you just never know. You never really know what ownership is thinking or what the vibe is inside the building. So I can't honestly say that I have a handle on what Jimmy's thinking right now, but I don't think there's division within the ranks.
It's really hard for me to just sit there and go, nope, they're all kumbaya. Like, obviously everybody's upset. I agree with Mary Kay there. I don't think anybody's satisfied with going 1-5 through your first six games. Like, I struggle to think they're all kumbaya and on the same page. I really do. Like, when Kevin comes out and goes, afraid of Joe Flacco, surprised me. Like, that's never a good sign. Like, the fact that the guy you didn't think was available to be traded ended up getting traded doesn't tell me you're exactly on the same page. I would imagine he didn't see the Greg Newsom thing coming from 1,000 miles away either. Would think that kind of caught him off guard. I gotta think there's at least some division here, and it might not be between Andrew and Kevin. I think there could be a division between Jimmy, kind of giving Andrew what the lesson is, and then Kevin and Andrew and where they want to head with things. I think there's division at some point. I can't place where that division is, but there's something askew about the thought processes of two sides in the building right now. I would be very surprised if everybody is on the same page right now and how this thing gets better. And by the way, I would say that's probably most organizations, like maybe not to the drastic part of the Browns. I would think there's probably two lines of thinking in a lot of organizations. You end up signing with one way and somebody wins that battle. It's usually why guys get fired and people don't sit in their jobs for 25 years in the NFL. Very rare. Don't see it very often. Probably the situation you're in, but it's got to be division somewhere. I'm not buying that. They're just they're all on the same page. Albert Breer, the MMQB, on today with Afternoon Drive. Mike Tomlin making comments about Joe Flacco and Andrew Berry. And Breer gave his take.
I was surprised that he was so forthright about that. It was just my interpretation of it. Yeah, I think Mike and Kevin have a good relationship, and so I felt like it was Mike getting Kevin's back a little bit. You know, I think to some degree it was, from a coach's standpoint, I wouldn't do that. I think it was showing some sympathy for the situation maybe the coaches were in, where it's like, all right, like now my safety net's gone, and it's going to be tough for me to compete if I don't have like that veteran quarterback on my roster anymore. Again, that's my interpretation of it. You know, I wouldn't put words in Mike Tomlin's mouth, but that's sort of what I thought it was.
Yeah, I don't really know how we go anywhere, but this was a defense of Kevin Stefanski, because very rarely do I hear a coach actually speak out on a move that another organization makes And maybe some of it had to do with the fact that, hey, guys, we were set up really nicely to play Drake Browning next week. You didn't exactly have to throw the 40-year-old quarterback back at us. That wasn't exactly great. I would have rather played the guy who was struggling, not the 18-year vet. Thanks for that. Probably a little bit of that, too. But, you know, is it really wild to think that Mike Tomlin comes to the defense of a fellow head coach? Like, I feel like there is a little bit of a brotherhood there when we talk about head coaches in the league and guys feeling like, my guy in the same position, essentially, and my coworker in the NFL here on the same level as me, got put in a really bad spot that wasn't really in his control. And Joe was the safety net. Like, hey, if things were to go wrong, Joe was the guy who could almost help that out and be like, if Dylan's playing so poorly or if Dylan gets hurt, you at least have a guy you feel comfortable with before if you have to turn to Shador. But yeah, this is really just Mike Tomlin. He didn't put a ton of stock into these. Felt like it's I don't have to go out and take another coach's and support him. But kind of makes sense that we could end up working together at some point if it really came down to it. I want to be on the good side of guys that are in your division that you see twice a year. I really don't think there was much to it. John Greco, former Browns lineman, on today with Ken and Anthony, as he is every single Tuesday, and he talked about a symphony of mistakes for the Browns.
It's just such a symphony of mistakes and errors offensively right now. I don't even know how to pinpoint it. You know, those guys, frankly, are probably tired of it, and they realize that they have to hold teams to 7 points or 10 points to try to win the game. So you can see frustrations are starting to mount, and rightfully so.
I don't know how you wouldn't be frustrated, especially if you're on the defensive side of the Browns right now. Like, we hear Myles Garrett get frustrated. We hear guys like Denzel Ward, maybe not, you know, being the warmest in the locker room and to everybody in the media being like, this team's doing great. We're going to, like, no, they're 1-5. The defense is doing great. The offense can't put it together. Yeah, but the symphony of mistakes goes back to what we were talking about when it comes to everything going wrong in this offense. Like, there are 15 different things you can point to as to why this team is failing right now and why they can't look both competitive and be in a spot to win and close out these games. I think frustration goes farther than just the players as well. Like, I think that would extend to Kevin Stefanski. I think that would probably extend to Andrew Berry. You can understand why guys get upset and why right now this team is scratching their head and probably feel like they're slamming their head into a wall, because it's essentially what they're doing. Like, there's just not an easy way out of it. It's going to cause frustration, but you're going to have to work through it as a team. And you're going to have to work through it if you're Kevin, or else, job might be coming up a lot sooner than not. As much as I don't think it's the right decision, wouldn't exactly call his seat just ice cold at the moment. One more. John Fanta of NBC Sports, also on today with Afternoon Drive. And he answered the question of whether or not the offense is fixable.
It's not, because the profile of it's just not good enough. I mean, they can't run the ball consistently, can't throw the ball. I kind of want to see Shador at this point because I'm so tired. I'm tired of hearing about it, guys. Like, I want to see it. But, like, can I definitively then say whether he's great or not? Not with the personnel around him. That's what's saddest about this whole thing.
Now, we're going to talk about Shador a little bit later on, but, like, I'm not in the spot where I want to see Shador. Like, Dylan is starting, and I think rightfully so, still in that moment. You don't have a two-game window for a rookie quarterback. I don't know that I can say the offense is fixable, but going back to what we sort of talked about right out of the gate and whether or not we're passing judgment too early, I don't know that the Browns are a team that throughout the course of the year are going to average 14 points a game. Like, I don't know that they don't climb over that hump, because yes, the offense is bad and it is a sore on the eyes, but you also have to consider the defenses you've played. Like, you should be better right now. This team can be doing more to be effective on offense. It might just be a case of the defenses you're playing are basically almost all in an elite level, all almost top 10 defenses in the NFL outside of Cincinnati. You could have a much better shot to actually look, I don't know, feasible, acceptable against a lot of the easier defenses coming up against you. I just think if you say that this offense can't be fixed, you got to put parameters on it. Like, can it be fixed to the point where they're the 15th best offense in the NFL? No, probably not. Like, I don't think they can really get to that point. Can they be fixed to the point where they're not the dead last and by a wide margin worst offense in the NFL? Yeah, you can probably get beyond that point. There's probably an evening out that needs to be done that just is a product of the Browns at the hardest point of their schedule, not playing well and everything else. They will be hopefully looking better later on in the year. that you feel like has actually picked up some steam, and you feel like, you know, a lot of young players in the game starting to feel things out, starting to get more comfortable. A lot of that at your quarterback position. There's a lot that can work out in a more positive way for the Browns too. So fixable in a great way? No. Is it going to be this bad all year long? God, I hope not, but I would also think probably not. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back here, Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland sports beat reporter, going to be joining us, breaking down a Browns loss to the Steelers, in which they didn't score a touchdown, Dylan Gabriel's play, Kevin Stefanski's job security, and a whole lot more. It's coming up in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.